Today's reading is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. And you can find this on the Church Bibles on page 1065. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You can hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe that. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Catchphrases are very, very popular with advertisers. You know, every little helps, a little short phrase, you know, who picked it up. And Jimmy Carter, anybody remember Jimmy Carter? Yeah, it shows you're mature like me. And he said in his presidential campaign way back in 1976, "I'm born again." And since then, actually, other people have used that expression, born again. I once saw an advert, the born again golf. I thought, oh no, they've picked it up as well. What do they mean? What are they getting the message across? Born again is something very special. Never mind the old golf that was wonderful, a born again golf. And of course, who was the first to use that expression? Jesus, born again. And of course, he used that expression, speaking to a man, a very religious man, a devoted man, a good man. He was a man who believed in God, who believed in the afterlife, a man who lived his life in such a way that hopefully God would accept him in eternity. To this man, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, stop. You must be born again." Nicodemus came to Jesus with questions. And he began to speak to Jesus. with a compliment, you know, we know you're a teacher, come from God, and Jesus stops him in his tracks. Not very polite, you might think. Nicodemus, stop. It's no good me trying to explain to you anything unless we start at the very beginning. To start with, you must be born again. The things you want to understand, the things you want me to explain to you, we've got to start at the very beginning. I once had some string that somebody had messed up and I was trying to unravel it. And of course, I couldn't. And I thought, right, I must look at the beginning. So I found this beginning and I kept on threading it through until eventually it was all open, undone, ready to use again. Start at the beginning. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Let's begin by this word must. Jesus very seldom used the word must. In fact, if I'm correct, I think only about three times in the Gospels he uses this word must. Now, you and I, of course, use the word must often. I must have a new hat. My wife says to me the other day, I must have a new jumper, a glitzy jumper. Well, I took her to Marks and Spencer. There were no glitzy jumpers. We must go. I said, we went yesterday. Oh, did we? We're going this next week to see a friend. I'm digressing, but I'll tell you the story. In Yeadon. And we'll take her. She's 90 years old. And we're taking her shopping. I said, you're about to find something glitzy. I must. She doesn't really. How often do you use the word must? Jesus used the word must three occasions. And those three occasions, Nicodemus, you must be born again. My parents lived in Australia. Both have passed away now. And we were going to visit them. And I arranged to fly there with Garuda Airlines. Anybody heard of Garuda Airlines? No, you wouldn't. They flap the wings. But they were cheap. They were cheap. And the Indonesian, so we were going to stop in Jakarta because I have some missionary friends in Jakarta, stay in Jakarta overnight, couple of nights there, see friends, and then go on to see my parents. So we arrive in Jakarta, and we're settled there, and then I go to the airport to fly to get the evening flight to Sydney. And the man looks at the passenger and says, sorry, you can't fly. What do you mean? I said, you've got no visa. What do you mean you've got no visa? My parents, I expect me tomorrow. Sir, sorry, you can't fly. But I must. Sir, he said, if we put you on the plane and took you to Sydney, they wouldn't let you in. They would send you all the way back. You must have a visa. Oh, I thought, what has happened? The travel agent who had actually bought us the tickets had not told me because previously we didn't need a visa, being British. He said, you must. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? Amazingly, that was Saturday. I managed to get the British Embassy to open up on Sunday to see us and give us a visa. I thought, Lord, you're very good. There was no other way. You must. Jesus to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I'm sorry, there is no other way. To get where you want to go, to get to heaven, you must be born again. Now, there are people who believe in an afterlife. And many of those people, they hope that somehow they'll be okay. They work hard. They're nice people. They do good. They do their best. After all, they say, I can't do better than my best. And they hope. But Jesus, I'm sorry, there is no other way. It can't be done. You must be born again. Nicodemus, he wasn't going to take anything to chance. He wasn't going to presume. He came to Jesus. He said to him, look, you're looking in the wrong direction. Beyond life, beyond the brief spell here on earth, for a secure destination, for acceptance by God, for hope in the future, you must be born again. He repeated again and again. Now, if you say to people today about being born again, they'll think you're a nutcase. Some will. Some will tease you. Some will taunt you. Some will think you're being, rather arrogant. I said to somebody, because I said, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. He said, oh, you're boasting. I said, no. When I say I'm a born-again Christian, it's not a boast, it's a confession. A confession that I'm not good enough to be accepted by God. I'm a failure. So I've gone to God and said, Lord, please help me. And amazing, he said, okay. It's a confession, not a boast. You must be born again. There are people who rely on their own ability. Their church attendance. Jesus, I'm sorry, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And actually, the wonder of this phrase is, it doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. One winter time, it started snowing all of a sudden and couldn't get any Wellingtons. They were all sold out. Pet was only little, about seven at the time. And we went out for a walk, and the pavements were very slippery. And she went to hold my hand. I said, no, Petra, I will hold your hand. If you hold my hand, whether you fall will depend on your strength. If I hold your hand, you will not fall because it depends on my strength. You'll be secure. I will hold you. And that's what Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again because this is a secure way. It's the only way. But what does it mean to be born again? What does this expression mean? This expression suggests it's a regeneration, not an illumination. It's not something we work up in our minds. And it's beyond ourselves. When you were born, what did you do? Nothing. It was your mum. So it means it depends on God. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Who were born not of the will of God, of man, but of God. John 1:13. It's as mysterious as human birth. It's as mysterious as the wind. You feel the effect. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. An event that makes God real to us. We are born physically. And because we're born physically, we can relate to the world around us. And as we grow older, we understand things, we feel things, we touch things, we smell things. To understand spiritual things, something needs to happen to us which is as simple yet as mysterious as birth. We are born into the physical world and can enjoy the physical world. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, something needs to happen to you as mysterious and yet as simple as birth. And then you can relate. I can recall the day when I had a spiritual experience, when I was born again. And in a mysterious way, God became real to me. In my case, it was sudden. With other people, it's gradual. It happened in different ways with different people. But God became real to me. And since that day, I've been conscious wherever I am that God is there with me. It's actually it's a two-edged sword. Because when I'm tempted to do something wrong, I think, oh dear, he's watching me. But I know he loves me. He's a restraining influence. He helps me. Without his strength, I couldn't cope. And all the time, I'm conscious of his presence. You must be born again and reach that situation where day by day, wherever you are, you're conscious of God's presence with you. Like a child, however small they are, they're conscious of mum and dad with them. You must. It's an event. A process. It begins now. You don't have to wait. And then Jesus repeats and expands on it. Born of water and spirit. Jesus was referring to things that Nicodemus had heard about and was familiar with. Born of water. What does it mean? Well, what did John the Baptist do? He baptized them with water. Water signifying repentance. At the heart of being born again is repentance, where we come and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not good enough. I know I'm not good enough. People talk about the love of God, which is wonderful and true. People talk about God loves you, which is absolutely true. But because God loves you, Jesus died for you and me. Why? Because he's a holy God. And we are sinners. Repentance is required. Baptism of water, repentance. But John went farther than that. He said, yes, I baptize you with water, but after me, someone comes who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's superior to me. So we repent, and then God does something in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we experience the presence of God. Water symbolizing repentance. Spirit symbolizing regeneration, new birth. We become someone different. Repentance and regeneration go together. John the Baptist came to prepare the way, to call to repentance. Significantly, the Pharisees had rejected the call of John the Baptist. They didn't like repentance. Why? Because it suggested they weren't good enough. And they thought, we are good enough. We keep the letter of the law. We do everything right. We need to be born again. Born again incorporates repentance and regeneration. Regeneration is God's part. Repentance is our part. You might say that, but why do we repent every Sunday in church? Well, it's interesting. We say repent. You know, when at the Last Supper, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and he came to Peter, and Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. This is incredible. Jesus said, no, if you don't, I don't wash your feet, you've got no part of me. Oh, in that case, said Peter, wash the whole of me. No, said Jesus, you don't understand. The one who is clean doesn't need to have a shower. In those days, if you're going to go out for a visit to somebody, you had a shower, you washed yourself and, you know, put perfume on and powder and all the rest of it, and then you went. But as you walked along with sandals, the dusty road, and of course, with a dusty road, what happened? Your feet got dusty. You're all clean apart from your feet. So as you arrived at your destination, the man at the door had a servant at the door who washed your feet. So we are clean. When we've been born again, we are fit for God's presence, but we are human. And as we live our life day by day, we get dusty feet, as it were. So when we come to church, say, Lord, we're sorry. We want our feet washed, as it were, and you can do this as you wash them. But the wonderful thing about being born again is when you're born, you're born. You're secure. You don't have to worry. How is it appropriated? How can I make it mine? How can I be right with God? This is attainable. You may not understand, said Jesus to Nicodemus, but it's possible. There are three R's. Repent. Oh, three R's. Believe is not an R, but anyway. A spelling mistake. It's the computer. Blame anybody else. Repent, believe, receive. Repent, believe, receive. When Jesus began his ministry, we read this. He began to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, believe, receive. Repentance is a change of heart and mind. Repentance basically is turning around. I'm going in this direction, or I'm going to follow you. And just believe him. Repentance places us in a place where God can actually do something for us. But the wonderful thing about this is when we repented, we are secure. I come across people every now and again say, oh, surely God can't let me look, I've done it again. I said, no, you belong to God. As a youngster, I like to think I was a nice lad, but I was very, very mischievous, always getting into trouble. Do you know what? My mum never threw me out. I never felt unwanted. Oh, sometimes in anger, she'd try and, you know, beat me, chase me, and hit me. Did I tell you the time I ran up a tree? Did I tell you, no? She went to hit me and I climbed up a tree. I said, she'll calm down. Come on, she said. She never, ever said, clear off. Because God isn't like human beings. He doesn't get angry with us, like my mother just angry with me. I never felt unwanted. Why? Because I had been born into my family. Never, ever feel unwanted. And when you do something wrong, God is there to forgive us because he loves us, because we're family. Born again, a lovely expression. Makes me feel secure. Makes me feel I'm loved. Makes me feel I do not need to be afraid of the future. I can face life with all its problems because God is with me. I can face eternity with joy. Talking to my younger brother the other day, he said he knows he may not have long to live, but he says one or two things that happen, he said. Either the Lord will come back, we've been celebrating, or I'll go and meet him. If I get there before you, I'll keep your place. Lovely expression. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you so much that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have a sure and certain hope. So day by day, help us, Lord, to trust in him and rejoice in our relationship with you. We thank you, we praise you. We do so in our Savior's name. Amen.